There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello.
Hello.
We just had to wait a few seconds to start because you were eating something, weren't you?
I was eating a Love Heart. I had to really chomp down on it because I knew that I was taking ages. I wanted to suck it, like really, you know, luxuriating
it. Yes.
But, you know, I couldn't be rude.
What did it say on your Love Heart?
I didn't even look. That's how quickly I ate it. I know.
That's one of the strangest things I've ever heard.
I know.
You know, you've said to me that you think it's very strange that I'll have a blister of pills, of tablets, and it has the days of the week on them. And I just take them in a random order and I don't pay attention to the days.
Yeah.
I think eating a Love Heart without reading it first is at least as strange as that.
I can't help but agree. I have noticed that every other one is like some kind of...
Tweet me.
No, it's not even words.
You're my meme.
No, it's like a sort of like a...
Emoji?
Almost like an emoji, yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, talk about dumbing down.
Because they were so highbrow in the past, weren't they?
I had, like, proper
with all the
words.
Like Kierkegaard quotes and so on that they used to have on them. How upsetting!
I know.
And did you get your Easter sugar hit?
Yep.
What? How many eggs did you have?
Oh, I just nonstop, just egging it, egging it. Yeah, I just had loads of chocolate. Yeah. What about you?
I didn't have an Easter egg myself.
No, me neither. Actually, I just ate everyone else's.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was only Gene who had them. But. He isn't keeping a close watch.
That's the thing, isn't it? They're not counting them.
No, they should itemize them.
Yeah.
So it was, and I hid all the eggs around the house. Sorry, the Easter Bunny hid all the eggs around the house.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
None of us have got any energy for that, you know.
What, the Easter Bunny?
Like, we just all know.
Oh, okay. But does Jean play along with it? Because I think Rudy knows, but I say, oh, yeah, I'm just going outside, come back in. Oh, it seems that the Easter Bunny's been. Let's go.
I think the main motivation for playing along with it is the risk that if you don't, then there might be no chocolate.
I think that's what it is.
Yes. But it's just every year, the last 2-3 years, it's buying all these, especially for an only child.
Yes.
You buy all these tiny eggs and then they have the magic. And I do love the magic of the wondrous childhood aspect of finding them all and putting them in a basket. But then everybody knows you're going to eat three of those and then some of the big ones, and the rest of it is just going to slowly... I'm sure chocolate does go off. It just goes dusty. It's got that discoloured thing that it gets with time.
I think it takes a few years, doesn't it? Like, how long are these hanging around for?
I don't know, because people do... you know, it's different, but like wedding cakes, people... can save those for a long, long time, don't they? But I'm a big slave to the best before date.
Oh yeah,
and I read a lot. I see people talking on television, on radio about how it's a nonsense and you don't need to adhere to it. But I'm very strict about that kind of thing, just in case.
Okay,
I don't play fast and loose with the expiration date.
Okay,
even though it's just invented to get us to buy more bread or whatever, milk. Yeah.
But you like you do know the difference between the used by and the best before, right?
Well, I'm just looking for one date. I haven't got room in my life for paying attention to two separate dates. No.
Okay.
Why can't they just split the difference and average it out?
I guess I think some are more dangerous than others.
Just find the midpoint for me. And
call it the date.
Yes, the date.
Here's the date.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not time to be like a scholar poring over all these different dates and things. Okay. Like a scribe in the British Library.
That's what it would be like, you're quite right.
I haven't got time for that. I've got a busy life.
Exactly.
I don't know what it is that I'm doing. Really hits home, doesn't it, on a bank holiday weekend?
What's that?
Not having a job. These days are meaningless now. I mean, anything. All it means is I'm more inconvenienced because other people aren't working. anyway, I had a nice amount of eggs and it was all fun.
Good.
And I'm very happy that Easter exists.
Me too.
Not from the salvation point of view.
From the chocolate point of view.
Chocolate point of view. Yeah. I like to commemorate the time that the Lord fed the 5,000 by turning the eggs into chocolate.
Yeah.
So there we are. Now, you've sent me some clippings.
Mm.
This interested me. Japanese citizens will all have the same family name in 500 years' time, unless married couples are permitted to use separate surnames. This is a new study, which is part of a campaign to update a civil code dating back to the late 1800s. It's led by Hiroshi Yoshida, a professor of economy at Tohoku University. And he says that, because this is all about... once you're married, you have to have the same name, right?
Okay.
Same family name. I think there's a few other factors, but he says it projected that if Japan continues to insist that couples select a single surname, every single Japanese person will be known as Sato-san by the year 2531.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
You're fine with it? Go on. Why?
What's the problem?
Is it because it's so far away you just can't bring yourself to care?
No, I'm just fine with it. Here's what I actually think.
Mm.
Thought experiment.
Yeah.
What would be the problem
if
everybody, and I'm not even talking about surnames here, if everybody just had the same name, if everybody was just called Les?
Wouldn't that make names a bit pointless?
Better.
Okay, I'm getting into this thought experiment. Let's delve further. Okay. So we're all called Les Smith.
Yeah.
What happens in the doctor's surgery when they say Les Smith and everyone stands up?
Les Smith with the gammy leg. Les Smith with the VD. Is VD still a thing?
I was thinking STD. I think I'm slightly more modern than you.
Right.
So that's just one example where I feel like it's not
quite... Yeah, so that's solved, yeah. So what's the next one?
Okay. I mean, that was the main thing I was thinking.
Yeah, there we go. So, okay. I mean, if that can be solved, then everything can be.
I'll tell you who it'd be great for.
Yeah.
Anyone who makes anything personalised.
Yes.
They just have to put Les Smith on everything.
Yes, yeah, Les. And I'm saying it from my point of view that I'm, got this thing with faces and I'm constantly worrying about people realising that I don't recognise them because I can't get to a name.
Yeah.
So I could say to everyone, hello, Les, how are you?
Oh, I'm sold now.
Yeah. And then if I'm talking about Les...
Mm.
So saying to my wife, oh, Les is coming around today.
Yeah.
I can just do the thing that you do in the doctor, say, oh, Les with the VD.
You know what's nice is that you'll then get to know what people really think about you, because you'll be like known as so-and-so Les, like whatever that might be. Like you might be, for me, I don't know, annoying Les or...
Shady Les.
Shady Les, cold Les. I don't know. Like,
nothingy Les.
I don't want to be anything but nothingy. It'd be interesting to find out what kind of Les you are.
Yep, let's make it happen.
I'm happy.
In a utopia.
Yeah.
Tell me what you've found on your adventures in the inbox.
I'd love to, yeah. I found something from Mike P, who writes... Regarding cringeworthy experiences in theatres, my wife and I are friends of the City Varieties in Leeds and have been to see numerous fantastic comedians there over the last 30 years without incident. But a few years ago, we went to see Rob Beckett. My barber also goes regularly, and by coincidence, on this occasion, we were seated next to each other. We were in about row 6, far enough back for a good view without crooking our necks, but safe from comics audience banter. At this stage, I should say that I had a large plaster on my cheek just below my ear. Rob did his normal stuff, then spotted the massive plaster on my cheek and took the mick. As my barber was laughing so much, Rob asked me if I knew him and I said, of course, he's my barber. So Rob quipped, so was it him that did that to your face? I tried to subtly shake my head at him as if to say, don't go there. But he persisted, so I had to say, no, it's skin cancer. Rob suddenly dropped his mic and held his face in his hands before I assured him everything was fine. A few weeks later, we went to see Joe Lycett, who at one stage asked, is there anyone here from Birmingham? Now, as a born Brummie, my hand was about to shoot up when I felt a vice-like grip on my arm with a softly growled, don't you dare do it again, from my wife. No more talking to anyone on stage for me, which is probably just as well.
Oh, God. I think that if you've been chosen from the stage, it's because you've got a nice face and they think you're not going to be trouble.
Well, that's nice. Is that honestly?
Yeah. I do. I do think that. Yeah. It's either because you're a nuisance and you're talking and they need to shut you up.
Ah.
Or it's because they think you've got a nice face and you're not going to be any bother.
Okay, that's nice.
But I would say never volunteer anything.
Mm.
And if you can get away with just a nod and a facial expression, do that. Rather than answering verbally.
Okay.
This is my advice.
Isn't that annoying for the comedian? If you're just sort of being...
It's their job. They have to work around it.
It's not your problem.
Unless they want to give you a cut of ticket sales.
Quite right. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to Imperial Regent Lindsay. About 12 months ago, whilst out with my dog, I met a lady and two dogs. The doggos got on great and she was nice. So we exchanged numbers with a view to coordinating some walks in the future. There were a few messages back and forth trying to coordinate, but with work, her daughter moving in, partner stuff, etc., we eventually stopped the messages and gave up. Today, out with my dog and friend somewhere new, I met the two lady and dogs along the canal and started the standard chat of, wet enough for you, etc. One of them recognised me and I realised it was the aforementioned lady with dogs, so weather talk wasn't going to cut it. The original lady I met was American and I recognised that the other lady had also an accident, so trying to be clever...
An accident?
Accent.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Had an accent. So trying to be clever, I asked if the second lady was the first lady's daughter. Not even close. They were best friends of similar age.
Oh.
And the second lady was Scottish.
Oh, dear.
Obviously, I kept talking to try and improve the situation, but there really was no way out of it, and it kept getting worse. I assume my dog now needs to be a house dog. And on a similar theme, I've had a few of these recently. I like them. From Imperial Queen Eileen. I was taking a walk in the village when I met a lady with whom I'd had a quick exchange. We'd been at the same school many years ago and only met again recently. This particular day, she was accompanied by another lady. Oh, this must be Mum. Hello, nice to meet you, says me. It's not my mum. It's our Al, was her reply as they both smiled awkwardly. She was a twin and I had insulted them, comparing her twin sister to their mother, who must be perhaps 20 years older. Needless to say, I'll cross the road and wave when I meet her next.
That's terrible.
A twin.
My deepest condolences. Please share yours with us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com. Annabelle?
Yes.
I was eating a wrap before.
Mm.
It was I think I've got a sneeze coming.
Oh, okay. We can wait.
No, I think
false
it was...
alarm.
Oh, no, maybe. Is it? I think it's false alarm.
Okay.
I was eating a wrap.
Oh, here it comes.
No, it's going to go. I was eating a wrap before.
Mm.
Paneer Makhni, if anybody is interested. Here's a thing. I've got no idea how to correctly pronounce Makhni, but when I said Makhni like that, it sounded like I was trying to be southern rather than northern. I'm worried about my northern flat vowel sounds.
I don't even know what it is.
Black Dal.
Oh.
Well, that's the sort of...
Paneer and Black Dal.
Well, it's, you know this. You know the Black Dal you get? You know that nice creamy Black Dal?
I love it.
You know that taste, that sauce?
Mm.
That is a Makhni sauce, I think.
Okay, gotcha.
Do you see what I mean?
Gotcha, it's paneer
marinated in that.
Lovely.
Very nice.
Mm.
Anyway, while I was eating that, you were tapping away.
Mm.
You were doing your typewriter tip on your laptop.
Yeah.
Because you are a little behind on your Substack.
Yeah.
You got to have it out in time for tomorrow.
Yeah, I want to get it out ideally by lunchtime tomorrow. I'm a bit behind. I'm usually a bit more ahead of myself.
So what are you writing about then?
I'm writing about my desperate need to please my optician.
Got new
glasses.
Yes, I noticed when you told me that you had new glasses.
You didn't notice.
No, when you said... I've got new glasses. I didn't think you were playing a belated April Fool's Day trick on me.
Is it normal when you get new glasses for them to leave a mark on your face? Do they kind of like loosen up a bit?
No.
Oh, God, they're too tight. All right, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Did you play any April Fool's tricks?
No, did you?
No, I usually do, but then Jean wanted to play this one.
Mm.
So he comes and gets in bed with me in the morning. Sarah's long since got up to the loft because of my snoring.
Mm.
She goes up at about 2, and then he's usually in there by about 3 or 4. So he had this idea that he wanted to have a tambourine in bed with him.
Mm.
So that when his mum tapped him to wake him up the next morning, it'd make a noise like a tambourine.
Okay.
And that was the April Fool.
I'm sorry, I do quite like that.
Yeah.
I do quite like that.
Yeah, I mean...
It'd be funny, like, we'd like... Oh, like banging a little jangly drum. Like,
yeah,
nice.
I think there's like a logistical problem with it in that you don't really shake a kid to wake them up.
Yeah, but did you ever have to wake him up? I'm impressed.
Well, he was pretending. He heard her coming in and pretended to be asleep.
Gotcha.
So anyway, I was so embroiled in the in the arrangements for that.
Oh.
I just didn't have it in me to do one of my own.
Took it all out of you.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I had thought of a good one, though.
Oh, go on.
Thought, like, while Sarah's asleep, what if I get Jean to leave the house and then redecorate his bedroom like he'd never been born?
Oh, damn,
and
yeah.
Take down all evidence of him.
Like, and then she'd freak out. They'd yeah. like, be like, what's on?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe I'll do that next year.
Definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, so your Substack is about your opticians.
Yeah, like trying to please my optician, even if the risk of like me getting the wrong prescription or losing my sight, I just want them to be happy with me.
And do you have another way in which you are not a fully functioning adult?
I do. Actually, I got one more thing to add to last week. Remember last week when I was talking about my failures and not ever having to using things properly that
yes.
I've had for years? Got one more to add to that. The calculator. So I've been using a calculator for more than 40 years. Obviously, nobody knows what 90% of the buttons
yeah, of
do,
course.
Like
yeah,
the
yeah.
MC, M plus, sin, cos, tan, et cetera, et
yeah.
cetera.
No clue.
Idea. But why has nobody ever told me that the C button deletes the most recent entry? And if you make a mistake, you don't have to start all over again. Did you know that?
I don't trust it.
You
I think I had an inkling that was what it is, but I don't think it always does that.
Doesn't but, always do it.
Yeah,
they're a bit unpredictable calculators, aren't they? You know what you
yeah,
mean?
Yeah.
Sort of the same, but not really at all. You know the craters on the moon?
I'm familiar with them, yes. Like the Sea of Tranquility and so on.
I know. Do you know why they're there?
I'm guessing just like stuff smashed into the moon.
Why didn't I know this? Honestly, my kid like brought home this phonics book from school about the moon. And I read that and I went, oh my God, I had no idea. That's what the craters are. They're like,
oh, yeah.
they're
yeah,
bruises.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're bash marks.
Yeah.
There's over 9,000 of them. The moon's being abused. Got my eye on Neptune. That's the one I got my eye on. You leave our moon alone. Moving on. I'm quite exhausted from that long weekend because we had the big three, didn't we? Easter, April Fool's Day,
mm-hmm.
and the final of Gladiators.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love Gladiators. Did he watch it? Didn't
no.
Watch it.
Oh,
so good. Also, the clock's changing.
Yes!
We went to what, British summertime?
Yeah, we sprung forward.
We did. I hate the clock's changing because I hate having to say after the spring one, oh, it's so light at 5 o'clock because I can't not say it.
Mm.
Nobody can not say it, but I hate myself as I'm saying
it. Yeah.
I hate the constant thinking of, like, say at 7 a.m., oh, it's actually 6 a.m., for about 2 weeks until I accept the new reality. It's about 2 weeks before I come to terms with my new life. But most of all, I hate the build-up to it. And trying to remember, you said it just then, what did you say, spring backwards or spring forwards?
The spring forward, fall backwards.
God, I can never remember it. In my head, I'm going, fall backwards or fall forwards? Why would you fall backwards? Spring backwards? Why would you spring backwards? Spring forwards? I can't remember it ever. And since I've had a child, I'm trying to work out whether I should start putting him to bed slightly earlier or slightly later in the run up to it. And my brain just can't do it. I cannot work it out. I have to get pen and paper out and it's still really hard. It's like I'm trying to solve that maths thing on the blackboard in Good Will Hunting. Last autumn, I got it completely wrong and messed it up entirely, like he was going to bed 2 hours earlier or something. And I can't even explain how I messed it up. I don't know which is which, but I do have a preference for British summertime as it's got the word summer in it and the other one's got the word mean in it. I just think it's nicer. Hey, do you know why we do it?
Oh, I prefer Greenwich Mean Time.
Why?
Because it feels like the norm.
Oh, I see.
You know, it's like reverting to the norm. It's not an adjustment.
Yeah, I just think it's been a bit mean.
Yeah, it's like the classic.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Do you know where we do it?
Yes, I think so.
Benjamin Franklin's that ringing a bell?
No, that's not why I thought we did it.
I mean, like, it's probably like an urban myth, but
apparently... I thought it was something to do with like Scottish farmers.
Oh, no, originally, like, goes back to 18th century. Basically, Benjamin Franklin wrote a whimsical article with it, and it was basically a joke, like, why doesn't everyone just go to bed earlier, like an hour earlier this time? It was, you know, he was joking. And then it just sort of somehow, someone thought, well, actually, that might be a good idea. We should do it. And the farmers obviously were like, yeah, we're loving it.
So that could happen with my idea of everyone being called Les.
And when I think about all the joke suggestions I've made on radio, for example, we should have alive saints. It's a shame that no one gets to enjoy it.
A what? Alive saints?
Alive saints, not just dead. Well, yeah, why wait for the dead? They don't get to enjoy it.
Yeah.
April Fool's Day should be a whole day, like birthday and Christmas, and or just call it April Fool's half day. The Jack in a pack of cards should be replaced by the Queen's favourite horse, Estimate, dressed in medieval garb. The green man should be changed to a green rat. Extend Big Ben so it's the tallest building in the world and call it Biggest Ben. And turn all zebra crossings into giant keyboards like in the film Big so we can play a tune when crossing the road. These are all things I've suggested over the years and they haven't been taken up. Maybe you have to wait until they're like the 24th century.
It's almost like it's one rule for Benjamin Franklin and another rule for you.
Yes. We used to work with someone whose dad refused to take part in the whole thing and he just kept his clocks the same all year round. And I have to say, despite my hatred, I'm not quite at that stage because I'd be late or early for everything instead of just late for everything. And I just think that that's just not good enough.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Think saying Donald Trump is manufacturing Bibles now. He's selling Bibles.
Yeah, I only read the headline, but he's got his own Bible for $60.
And it's not a Bible about him. It's not sort of replacing Jesus or God with himself.
I don't know. I didn't read the story.
No, you just skim the headline. Yeah. I don't know if $60 is good for a Bible. It doesn't feel like an entry point, does it?
Not for me, unless it was all kind of gold-plated and the paper was a bit thicker. It's always very thin in Bibles, isn't it, the paper?
Yes, very it's thin. Like the toilet paper that we had in our primary school, the Isle toilet paper.
I wonder if they've updated that. I mean, the Bible, not the toilet paper. I know they updated the toilet paper.
I know. I love telling my son about that toilet paper.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. I really love it.
Anything about the olden days.
Yeah, in the same way as like my dad would go on about, I don't know, like eating out of bins or like sleeping in the gutter or whatever. I'll tell him about that.
That's your version.
Eyes old toilet paper. This is interesting. He describes it as his favourite book.
Really?
Mm.
Well, it's got a lot in it, a lot of stories.
Yeah, I think if you're going for bang for your buck in your book, it's probably quite a good one. But I find it quite bitty.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Arc-wise, and it starts with creation and ends with the end of the world.
Yeah.
So it's expansive in that way.
Yeah.
But I think it takes, you know, plot-wise, if everything in good writing should either move the plot forward or establish character.
Right.
I think it takes some unnecessary detours.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I'm thinking about Proverbs, Psalms, some of this stuff.
Yeah. Maybe his Bible's got rid of all that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody could do with a good editor.
Mm.
But
is Donald Trump that man?
Yes. I mean, I don't even think he read his own book out of the deal, did he? So
right.
It seems unlikely to me. My friend Alex Kosek was once given a Bible, so he's not a religious man, but He knew a pop star who was married to a celebrity preacher.
Okay.
And the celebrity preacher gave him a Bible and then signed it.
Okay.
I think it's weird to sign a Bible unless you're God.
Yeah, because you haven't written it.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Or done the illustrations even.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're the illustrator, if you're doing those elaborate letters at the beginning of each chapter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, then you could perhaps sign it.
Mm.
It just seems like a strange thing for me. And anyway, what he did with this Bible is he kept it. Mm. And I might have told you this before. He keeps like £1,000 in cash in it.
Because
if society breaks down, he wanted to have cash at the ready, but also thinking that people are going to be looting and plundering.
Mm.
So if somebody comes and loots and plunders your house, the last place they're going to look is in the Bible.
I mean, they're not going to be looking through books at all, I wouldn't think.
No, but especially, you know,
especially not the Bible. Really?
I mean, that was his thinking. Yes, some interesting thoughts.
Yes, yes.
What else did you send me? Oh, this one. It's from The Guardian. Elite athletes and professional gamers may have higher than average visual temporal resolution, research suggests. So some people are effectively able to see more images per second than others, meaning that they are innately better at spotting or tracking fast-moving objects such as tennis balls. This made me think that maybe you have got vision like, yeah, the cartoons in a newspaper. It's just like Fred Bassett. It's just four separate panes.
Yeah.
Like when a tennis ball comes towards you.
It would make so... I saw that head and I was like, oh, okay. It makes sense now why I couldn't play tennis.
Let me ask you a question. You know when you you make a sort of, I don't know what you call it, a flip illustration where you draw a little thing, the stick man on the pages of a book and then you flip through?
Yeah.
Does that look any different to real life to you?
Now you come to say it.
Does the Steamboat Willie Disney cartoon look very naturalistic to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah. Quandary Corner at the GLAP Clinic here in Problematic.
Let's start with Hannah. What is the appropriate response when someone sends a happy birthday message and it's not your birthday? Do you say thanks very much and just let them think that that's now your birthday, or do you correct them? I was sent a happy birthday message in a WhatsApp group yesterday and I didn't know how to respond. And another friend in the group responded by saying it wasn't my birthday. I was embarrassed for everyone. In the same vein, I've recently had my second baby and sent a baby announcement message to a variety of people, including work colleagues. Several have responded congratulating me, but using the wrong name for the baby. Should I have corrected them? Or is my baby destined to have people call her the wrong name forever? For context, anyone of importance knows her name correctly, but some also think her middle name is actually a double-barrel first name, so it's a minefield. Let's start with the birthday issue.
So birthday issue, here's what you do. You send a message saying, oh, thank you. It's not till next month, but I'll hold it over to them. Very kind of you. So you're sort of you're letting them know, but you're also being very gracious in your acceptance of the congratulations.
In a jovial way.
Yeah. The kid's name, don't correct them.
Just leave it.
Yeah.
And you could, okay, what I think I would do is occasionally, like maybe send a photo going, look, this is baby Mia.
Yeah.
Don't
join in with their wrong version.
No.
Out of awkwardness.
Mm.
But yes. Yeah. Don't correct them. That was easy.
I think that's very
good. Do you agree or disagree?
Completely agree. Very easily solved. Let's move on to Tim. To set the scene a little, I have owned various vehicles and through lapse memory.
All right, Tim. And classic car collection.
And through lapses of memory. I think he means that over the years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And through lapses of memory, or maybe he doesn't. I don't think he does. I think he means all at once. Show off, Tim.
What?
And through lapses of memory, I have an app that I keep record of the tax and MOT status of these vehicles. I currently have 6 to manage. And I also keep an eye on my 3 children's vehicles.
Hang on, he's got a fleet.
He has a fleet of cars. Wow.
And he's keeping those kids on tied to the apron strings.
Yes.
Wow.
I also like to pass time with... When a passenger is on a long journey, when I also like to pass time when a passenger on long journeys, checking the tax and MOT status of vehicles we pass or pass us. And invariably, I would see at least one vehicle with no tax or valid MOT.
That's interesting. Would you be able to, here's what I'm interested to know, Tim. Would you be able to know by looking at it, think, oh, I bet that's one of the ones with the lapse tax?
Yeah, because he might like get to have a feel for like what.
Like, can you spot a wrong un?
Yeah, and maybe even with the driver, yeah. Not that I do anything with this info. I'm not a grass. But here is the quandary. I think I love Tim. I have checked my neighbour's vehicles and note that their son's vehicle's MOT has run out. Not by a few days, but nearly 2 months. However, I don't want to just tell them as it would be strange that I am checking up on them. Correct. But at the same time, I wouldn't want their son to be out and have his car impounded by the police. How do I broach this subject with them without looking like a nosy neighbour? Thanks in advance of your usual impeccable advice. I think as well, if you're driving without an MOT, that's quite serious. Like if you have an accident, you're not insured. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's our old friend, the poison pen letter.
Yeah, we say old friend like anyone's ever used this.
But the letters cut out of newspapers.
I feel strongly he's got to tell them because our MOT's run out before.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on whether you want to look like a lunatic and for them to never speak to you again.
It is. And Tim, as I just said, I do love you. I do think that you're overusing this app a bit. And sometimes I think you need to like delete it for a bit.
But I also think like probably Tim has just given lots of people listening to this a hobby.
Okay.
Because we all love a good snoop.
Have you heard this and thought I'm getting the app?
No, because I don't really notice cars. I'm not really, I have no interest in anything to do with motor vehicles.
Yeah.
But if you are interested in automobiles, even a passing interest, I can see how this would be.
It might be fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so I do feel quite strongly that he should use this information for
good. But how? Without looking insane and jeopardising that relationship.
I've got it.
Yeah.
It just came to me. So, knock on the door. You be the neighbour. Knock, 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 knock. Okay.
I'm pretending to be not in.
Oh.
To not be in. That's what I tend to do.
I know you're in there. Oh, I think Tim's persistent.
Oh, God, it's Tim.
Come on. Come on, out you come.
Hello, Tim, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, not bad. Had a UTI last week, but it seems to cleared up. Still getting the mildest sting when I urinate, but I think the antibiotics are mainly doing their job, really. Yeah.
Great. So I got something to tell you. I'm a bit embarrassed, but basically, I've got this app where I check the status of my MOT and I put my reg in every time I did it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was sitting outside in my car and I put my reg in, like, I completely thinking about something else. I was thinking about dinner and what I was going to have. And I realise I put the wrong reg in. I put in the reg of that blue car there, which I think, is that your son's car? Whose car is that blue car? Is it your car? I don't even know.
Hang on, you were doing what? You were selling your car doing what?
I was checking the status of my MOT and I was absent-mindedly and I just like reg and I just saw a reg and I put it in.
I'm sorry, this sounds off to me.
Well, anyway.
You put in somebody else's registration.
Totally by mistake. I just wasn't thinking straight. It's just crazy.
That
crazy.
Seems like an odd thing to do, in error.
I agree. I agree. It's very odd. But anyway, you'll be glad I did, because guess what? Your son's MOT ran out 2 months ago. So he needs to get a new one. So I don't know. I just thought I'd let you know. I hope the UTI gets better. All right. Thank you. Bye.
I think we need to think about boundaries here, Tim.
You don't think it's a good idea?
No. There's no way of saying. The only way you could let somebody know is anonymously. If they know it's you, they will think you're a lunatic. They'll think you're deeply, deeply weird and they'll be unsettled by it.
I've got another idea.
Even though I think it's fine to do.
Yeah. I've got another idea.
Yeah.
So just stand on your driveway, like staring at your phone, like every time they come out. And eventually they might say, what are you up to there? And you say, oh, I've got this app. I'm obsessed by it. Like, I'm just constantly checking my MOT. And like, sometimes I even just check.
You're doing what, Tim?
I'm just checking my MOT status. And sometimes when a car goes past, I think, oh, I'll check there. It's just for fun. Ha, ha, ha. Do you want me to check yours for you?
No, we're fine, thanks.
Are you sure?
Yeah, all fine.
I'll just do this one now.
Gotta be off now,
I'll just do this one now. RG239. Oh, hello.
I've gone.
Okay, that doesn't work.
No.
Okay, poison pen letter.
Yeah. You could say, I was thinking of buying your son's car off of him. Do you know how long it's got left on the MOT?
That's good.
Then they'll go.
That's good.
Oh, I think he's quite attached to it. He doesn't really want to sell it. Let me just see how long is left on that. Is there an app? Let me Google. Is there an app?
Yeah.
Check MOT.
Yeah.
Ah, is it? What is your son's registration number?
Yeah.
Look, Tim, I don't think there is anything weird at all about you being interested in this stuff. I genuinely don't.
No.
Because we're all just, you're just drawn to what you drew. The heart wants what the heart wants.
And we're all just passing the time, really, when it comes down to
it. And even though you have the best intentions, though, that's just not going to play well with your neighbour.
Nothing, as we've realised, nothing you can do or say won't look weird.
No.
What is the nice version of a poison pen letter? It needs a different name because poison's negative.
A nutritious pen letter.
Nutritious pen. Send them a nutritious pen letter. Yeah. And from completely anonymous.
I mean, this is more like an antidote pen, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay. And that's the problem solved.
And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening. If you have a quandary for a Quandary Corner, if you have a story of social ineptitude, or if you'd like a podication, you can email us hello@adriftpodcast.com. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gowlett took our photos. Kim Rainey designed our artwork. And here's what she should have said. Here's what she should have said. Is this your impossibly young Scottish daughter? Podication time, and this comes from Ruth Kitchener, who says, greetings, Annabelle and Jeff.
Greetings.
Greetings. I would love to give a podication to an amazing friend of mine, Amanda. It's Amanda's birthday on April the 4th. Maybe this is too late, I'm not sure, but I procrastinated in sending it because I couldn't think of any witty or funny stories to share along with this message, which gave me the anxiety that I was too boring to warrant having this read out. Never worry about that.
No, they're all interesting in their own ways.
Yeah. Amanda has recommended Adrift to me a few times. I have to admit, first couple of times she mentioned it in passing, I thought, that sounds interesting, and then instantly forgot about it. That sentence went in a better direction than I thought it was going to.
Yeah.
I'm not good at starting new things, and I like the familiarity of the podcast I listen to. However, a few weeks ago, I thought I'd give it a go, and I loved it.
Oh, my God.
That's so intriguing.
This is wonderful news.
Yeah.
Truly wonderful.
Peculiar. where are we? It's like I found my tribe, and it's the perfect thing to listen to whilst I'm driving or in the gym or doing chores at home. A multi-purpose, that, isn't it? That's quite the range.
Wonderful.
I then had the awkward decision of, do I listen to the new episodes from when I first picked it up, or do I go back to the beginning to work through from the start date in order? I had this discussion with Amanda. Is this going to hurt my feelings this next bit?
Keep going.
Okay. And I decided to listen to them from the start. Oh, okay. At present, I'm on episode 10 and looking forward to finding out how Annabelle gets on once she's had her baby.
Wow.
I've dipped into a few of the more recent ones, mainly by accident when Spotify got confused, but I'm trying to keep it in some kind of order. I think I might get up to being date possibly circa 2028, when I'll probably finally get to listen to this, potentially, this podification. I just don't think you'll stick with it that long.
Oh, no, I think you're wrong.
I just can't imagine.
No, I think you're wrong. She likes the familiar. We're going to be so familiar by then that she won't want to leave.
Do you think the deterioration is so slow that but there's some kind of Stockholm syndrome to it? I don't know.
I think you're wrong.
Okay. Where are we up to? Amanda is a wonderful friend, and I'm grateful for not only the fact that she's introduced this podcast to me, but her friendship. I know she listens to every episode of the podcast, and the podcation would make her weak. W-E-E-K.
Yes.
But maybe.
Yes, or maybe weak as well, yeah.
I wish I could insert something witty other than intelligent here, but my mind goes blank. I know, and this is, yeah, I think that you'll see lots of evidence of this, or hear lots of evidence of this on your journey. In the podcast episode I'm currently on, you are discussing shyness is nice and general social awkwardness. And I'm not sure if this is still the case several years on. I mean, I think that's our raison d'etre, isn't it?
Yes. Still very much here for that.
I think every embarrassing moment of mine, I've totally blanked as a coping mechanism. It happens a lot. That's good. Repress those memories. However, Annabelle's story of BBC work experience and Vanessa Feltz insisting on
more meat
has reminded me that I did my work experience at the BBC as a teenager too. It was a fantastic experience, and I remember going to BBC Canteen, eagerly looking for the celebs that were rumoured to haunt the dining room. Disappointingly none found, but the food was okay. And I got to answer Terry Wogan's fan mail in a way that reminded me of how the royal family have ladies in waiting to answer their post. Unlike the royal family, they got a signed picture along with my reply. I kept a few of Terry's signed photos myself, and they're somewhere in the loft, even now. Nice.
Yeah, you've got to have a little souvenir.
Yeah, which got me to thinking. I wonder if I wrote to someone famous at the BBC now by post, would I get a reply? I don't know if Annabelle still does her investigative pre-recorded elements, but this seems like something I'd be interested to know the answer to. Maybe I should try and report back. Maybe you should, Ruth, because you don't, do you?
I stopped doing those like when Rudy was born, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah, and we never picked the baton back up again. No. And life got busy. Annabelle's got a start-up and a Substack. Also, she does some work on the side for me.
Yeah.
So I don't think you've got the bandwidth, have you?
Yeah, quite time-consuming, but it's also very fun.
Mm.
Maybe I'll try and combine some into my other bits.
It's a good question, isn't it? Because all these radio stations and shows would have presenter postcards.
Yeah.
And that feels like it's something from a bygone age.
They certainly didn't have them where we were.
They
did when I first started.
Yeah, but yeah.
So I got phased out.
So I don't know. I don't know is the answer. But you could write. I really like autographs rather than selfies. People just want selfies, don't they? Whereas I think there's something nice about having an autograph in your book with all the autographs. People who don't belong together. All nestling up against each other.
Yeah.
So there we go. So Ruth, thank you. Thanks for finding us
And staying with us for the time being.
We don't know about that. Let's not take that for granted. Okay. I've got my suspicions. But the latest edition of the podcast is podicated to Amanda. Happy birthday, Amanda! And if you would like a podication, then email us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.